The scripture we take a second look at now and ask the Holy Spirit to truly impress on us that we truly love Jesus. That scripture is our gospel for today. The words recorded in the 21st chapter of John. I'll read the verses that we didn't read a couple weeks ago at the end when Jesus had told Peter the third time, "Feed my sheep." He said, "I tell you the truth, Peter. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." We didn't act that out with the kids, did we? Because John knows now in hindsight as he writes this, Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death Peter was going to die. "Peter, do you love me? Follow me. Follow me to death." And this is God's word. "Grace and peace to you then from God our Father through our Lord Jesus Christ." Say it with me. Amen. Some things you cannot quantify. I was telling Grant and Sam and Leah that over and over this year, wasn't I? I gave you guys lots of quizzes and tests. And then I always told you that I couldn't measure faith. Remember that? I can't put a number on love, which is the most important thing. Or hope. How do you put a thermometer on hope? Some things you can quantify. How many yards was Peter from shore when he jumped in order to have breakfast with Jesus? And the Bible says he was about 100 yards from shore. It's a good long swim, isn't it? How many fish had the disciples caught? The Bible tells us this is no tall tale. Sometimes people tell tall tales about fishing, but there were 153. Who counts things like that and then puts them down in print unless it's a real story? This really happened. How many disciples were around Jesus then after they gathered the 153 fish and had breakfast? There were 7 disciples, Peter among them. How many times had Jesus appeared to these men? This is the third time, John says. Some things you can quantify. Some things you can't quantify. You can try to verify, and then you'll find out they're false. Since the main question that Jesus asked Peter is, "Do you really love me?" Any of you heard the story? It certainly floated around the internet, but it was before that even, of the young person who's supposed to give blood. There's supposedly a very, very bad blood problem that the one sibling has, and then the story varies. Sometimes it's a boy, sometimes it's a girl who's very sick, but the sibling of the other gender is giving blood because only that sibling has the blood that can save the sibling. And then the child looks up at the doctor when the doctor says, "Okay, it's all done now. You gave the blood. Thank you. You saved your brother or your sister's life." Then supposedly the child looks up and says, "But when am I going to die?" Figuring that he or she must have given all of his or her blood and is about to die. And that story supposedly goes back to the 1920s to a Mary Pickford movie. The 30-year-old actress playing a 12-year-old child. That one's not true. But the one that you guys and I have been talking about for a couple years and that God records again for us in the Bible, that one is, isn't it? "How much do you love me, Peter?" Really, the one thing we can verify about this story, since you can't quantify love with drops of blood, even Jesus' blood, the one thing we can be sure of, the one thing we can verify, is that when Jesus said, "Peter, how much do you love me? Do you really love me?" And he asked him 3 times, Peter could not and did not, Peter could not have replied, "Well, how much do you love me, Jesus?" Because Jesus had really died for Peter and for every one of us and for Grant and for Sam and for Leah standing up this morning and happily telling everybody out loud, Jesus died for you. So, 3 questions Jesus asked Peter this morning. And some interesting directions that Jesus gives. 3 directions Jesus gives. "Feed my lambs, take care of my sheep, feed my sheep." I'd say there's at least 3 implications. There might be 2 sets of 3 implications to all this, but... well, we should read again. Why does Jesus ask these 3 questions of Peter? What's it all mean for us? Let's start again with how John starts. "So when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? And that right away sounds to me like when my mother, do you guys get this too at home? Daniel, Alan. There's an implication there, isn't there? When he says Simon, son of John, and he says that three times. Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. And then the same name and the same question, maybe not exactly the same, because the first time it's, do you love me more than these? And whether that's the six other disciples or whether that's the 153 fish and the boats and everything that goes with it, either way. Because Peter had boasted, hadn't he? Remember? Oh, even if all fall away, I never will. But now it's Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. And then the third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Different Greek word, but our Bible does it well to give us the same English word. Do you? You have your heart set on me. Do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep. You know all things. That's not an implication. That's a direct statement, isn't it? We're overhearing a conversation between two men a long time ago by a lake. Some things you can quantify. We live in Nicollet near a lake that's not nearly as big as this lake. Can you picture this lake? Swan Lake is notable for how shallow it is, actually. Sea of Galilee, at its maximum depth, 141 feet. Quite a lake. Swan Lake is, I had to look it up. You know how I like to look things up. It's about 13¾ square miles. The Sea of Galilee is over 64 square miles. It's a very big lake. Peter had gone fishing there long before he met Jesus. He was a professional fisherman there, but now on the side of the lake, where it all started, where Jesus had called Peter, maybe not the exact spot, but still, Simon, son of John, let me ask you three times so we can talk about something you can't quantify. Do you love me? Implication number one. This is super important, right? Just like we said, when someone addresses you by your first and your middle name, and remember how Simon was his name at the beginning, John, of course, his father's name. I'm Daniel, son of David. You could fill in your own blank. But Jesus had first met him on the shore of this lake, or near it, and had said, oh, everyone calls you Simon. I'm going to call you Peter. And I don't think they actually shook hands, but that's what we would do today. I'm going to call you Rocky. Had Peter been Rocky Balboa, had he been Dwayne the Rock Johnson, or anything like those actors when he was around the fire with the servant girl? Of course not. So now he doesn't address them as that, does he? This is really important. And you weren't acting like the Rock when you were around the fire the first time. Same charcoal fire. Do you love me? This is what I wanted from you from the beginning. Those are at least three implications that Jesus makes when he just says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? This is what I wanted from the beginning. Love. Didn't Jesus want faith? Jesus says, before this all happens, we don't know, by the way, when this all happens. It's kind of neat that we're talking about it on a Sunday morning, 4 weeks after Easter, because maybe it was exactly 3 or 4 weeks after the first Easter. It was at least a couple weeks later, that's for sure. And it was the fulfillment of a promise Jesus had said, after I rise, I'm going to meet you in Galilee. Peter had no idea when Jesus said that on Thursday night how important it would be for him, because Jesus has already taken Peter aside. On Easter, Jesus took Peter aside personally. We don't read anything about that incident, just that it happened. When the Emmaus disciples get back to the upper room on Easter Sunday evening, the Lord has risen, is the report, and he's appeared to Simon. What did he say that time? We don't know. Some things you can at least verify. But in this case, let's do three more implications of these three questions and these three directions, and especially for our three confirmands. Jesus forgave Peter, didn't he? He loved him. So three times he says it to him. Not just, do you love me, but feed my lambs, take care of my sheep. I've got a job for you, Peter, which means, first of all, I forgive you. I said it before. I want to say it again. Jesus is like that. Jesus invites you to hear his gospel today and next Sunday and the Sunday after that, or Thursday nights whenever we have services. He invites you to come and take his supper, so that over and over you guys keep hearing Jesus say, I love you. And I've got a job for you to do. Jesus has different jobs for all of us. Was Peter thinking about going back to fishing at least part-time? Maybe. Do you need to become a full-time minister of the gospel? Jesus was calling Peter to be a shepherd, to be a pastor, wasn't he? We just talked about this in catechism. But what he mainly wanted him to know was that love isn't just a feeling. We all know this, and it's Mother's Day, and we don't have enough time to talk about a mother's love this morning. But goodness gracious, love isn't just a feeling, is it, moms? Oh my goodness, love is action. And Jesus must care about love. He cares about faith. Simon, I prayed for you that your faith may not fail. But he must care a lot about love, too, which is going to show itself in what we do, in what moms do for children, what young people do for their moms, and all in 100 other ways, in all the directions God sends us this week. That's an implication for sure when Jesus says, Simon, do you love me? For Simon, particular implications, not only you're forgiven, but, well, we should read on. He says, I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted, but when you were old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. And now in hindsight, John sees the implication of that. The second implication, besides Simon, you're forgiven. Simon, you're bulletproof. Simon, you're going to make it until old age. So get going, and don't be afraid of anybody with a sword or a jail cell key. They were going to throw Simon in jail, weren't they? Could someone ever hassle you three for your faith? Could someone ever give you grief or worse for believing that Jesus is the Son of God? It doesn't matter. Jesus would take care of Simon. Simon's bulletproof until he gets old. And then implication number three, he's going to die a bad kind of death because he believes in Jesus. John doesn't get to hear on this day what it would be. John just knows that in hindsight, Jesus had said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. We have Bible knowledge beyond us in 2 Peter. Peter knows he's about to die. That's about all we know. We have other writings from outside the Bible that say that Peter maybe was crucified, even that he requested to be crucified upside down. That's not sure. That could have happened. We don't know. This we know. And Jesus wrapped it up with Peter by saying, follow me. In fact, Peter turned at that point. And that's where we're going to go next week. We don't have time for that this morning. But follow me, he said. Follow me. So three complications about these three directions and our two sets of three implications. Because how do you follow someone you can't see? Right? Jesus is going up through the clouds. How do you follow someone you can't see? And how do, especially you three, how do you follow Jesus in a world with so many competitors? People follow each other on Facebook, and Grant follows the Vikings, I know for a fact. Somebody might say, well, no, I don't follow the Vikings, but I do follow the Twins, or vice versa. There's, and especially at graduation times, it's that time of year, people will be telling graduates, and these guys are not graduating from Bible study, are they? Goodness. None of us could ever. But follow your dreams, they'll say. Follow your heart. Jesus says, follow me. How do you follow someone you can't see? And how do you follow Jesus in a world with so many competitors? And can you do it part-time? Let's ask Jesus three questions, since Jesus asked Peter three questions. I think that'll help us in trying to make this practical. Jesus, let's make them past, present, and future so they're easy to remember. Jesus, how fair was God to you? Jesus is feeding men bread and fish, and he's got nail marks in his hands, doesn't he? He's got a big gash in his side. He lives, he's a real man, and he really died for all the sins of all the world. God put all the sins of all people on Jesus. Yours too, mine for sure. So in one sense, he was very unfair to him, and yet when Jesus prayed, don't let Simon's faith fail, which I've been praying for you guys for a long time. Keep them strong. Build their faith, Jesus. God answered that prayer. Why didn't he answer Jesus' prayer in the garden then? Don't let me go through this, God, because he had to die. There was no other way for the four of us, was there? No, for anybody. How fair was God to you? He He put Jesus on the cross and cursed him. But how fervently do you love God? How firm is your love? They're sitting on sand. They're around a whole bunch of water, which could douse that fire. But it's really neat that they're around a fire. How fiery is your love for your Father, Jesus, in the fire of the Holy Spirit? And Jesus says, watch me. I'm forgiving Peter. I'm recalling men to ministry. I actually want to hang around here for another 40 days after I rise, because this is my great joy, that people come to know me through the Holy Spirit. That's why you guys wear white robes today. You've been cleansed by Jesus' blood. And Jesus, not only how fair was your Father to you and how fervently do you love him, but how far will you follow him? And Jesus says, forever. How far would I follow my Father? I'm going to hand over the kingdom to him on the last day. And then God will be all in all. So now you three. I'll ask you a few more questions in front of everybody, but how about these three questions? Same thing. How fair has God been to you? You put all your sins on Jesus, didn't you? Talk about more than fair. How fervently do you love him? That'll be a matter of how it shows, won't it? We can talk about emotions, and we're going to stand up today and say really good things, but how will it show in the future? How fervently do you love him? Would you go to jail for him? What if they said, now you're going to die because you believe in Jesus? That's what we're talking about today. And lastly, how far will you follow him? So does anyone here know the story of the Gimli glider? I bet no one does. This happened in July of 1983. The Gimli glider was not really a glider. It was a Boeing 767. Some things you can verify, and some things ought to be quantified, and that includes the amount of jet fuel in a 767. This particular airplane took off from Montreal, heading back to Edmonton, where it had come from, and it had had a nice full tank of jet fuel on the way. But in 1983, Canada was switching over from the imperial system that we still use to the metric system. So not gallons and pounds anymore, but kilograms and kiloliters, etc., which means there are different ways to multiply the volume of the jet fuel. And some people just plain messed up the calculation. It's a long story. Look it up. The Gimli glider is the story. You'll find it. True story. The flight engineer took the word of other people, and instead of having about 20,000 kilograms of jet fuel, as they were supposed to have, to go from Montreal back to Edmonton, they had about 9,000. They had 61 passengers on board. They had 8 crew members, and they got just about directly north of us in Manitoba, about straight 8 hours straight north of us if we were driving. Near Winnipeg, have you guys been up to Lake Winnipeg? It's kind of cold up there for some. But one engine goes out, and then you can quantify. Then the other engine goes out, and it was a really good thing that the pilot was an experienced glider pilot, because he's got basically no power. And they got to land it somewhere. And the other pilot, it was really good that he had been at a former Royal Air Force base on the west bank of Lake Winnipeg, just like Jesus is on the shore of a lake as we read this story. And he said, we should try to land at that Air Force. Well, it wasn't an Air Force base anymore. They had a racetrack there that the local town, the town of Gimli, about twice as big as Nicollet, but only about 2,000 people, they were having an evening festival. Two little boys riding on their bicycles, and all of a sudden a plane, almost silently, at about 200 miles an hour, onto, well, it wasn't a landing strip, it was a race course, but they managed to land it, and nobody got hurt, except for a few people as they tried to slide down the slides, because the slide didn't quite get where it was supposed to, because the bot, well, let's not worry about all the details. I just tell you the story because they thought they were going to fly all the way to Edmonton and they didn't have enough fuel. And the promise you guys make today is that we're going to make it all the way to when Jesus comes again. Do you have enough fuel? Right now you don't, but in God's Word and in God's Holy Supper, you do and you will. So it was really serious. And Jesus looked at a man he loved and he said to him, are you looking at me? Follow me all the way. Amen. Please rise.